Hang on. I don't think I'm connected.
You are.
Connected?
You are.
Why can't I hear anything?
Turn you.
Because you're an idiot.
Christ. Oh, there you go.
There we go. Right, hands in. Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, and I'm Tim. That there is JB.
Hello, Tim.
He's Phil.
Hi, Tim.
We love rugby. We don't take it or ourselves too seriously. We're here to talk about everything that's been going on in the last 7 days, but this one's going to be a slightly unusual one because as we speak right now, not a ball has been kicked or a ruck been hit in anger in the round two of the European Champions Cup and Challenge Cup as well. And that is because I'm off on holiday in the morning.
How selfish.
I know. So we're recording this part of the podcast right now. It's about 20 minutes until Munster Saracens kicks off right now. And then you guys are going to watch the games, and by some sort of time travel miracle, we're going to jump to the future and hear your thoughts on the games after they've happened on Sunday evening.
I think we're renting a DeLorean from someone, aren't we? So,
yeah, something like that. We just need some potato peel to power the flux capacitor and we'll get to it. But there's plenty we can talk about because there's a lot that has been going on. And let's start with those international squads that have been announced. And let's start with England, the much talked about EPS squad that Stuart Lancaster has announced. Now we know he's going to add some names on Sunday, and you may well be able to talk about that in a little while on the podcast when we jump forward into the future. But 33 names, there's a lot been said about it, and rather than go over everything that's probably been said by a lot of pundits and analysts and stuff, I've got a little challenge for us. And have a think about this one as you're listening. And thank you very much for listening, by the way. You can make three changes to the squad. What do you do? You can trade three players out and three players in their place. Who do you trade out and who do you trade in their place to, in your opinion, improve Stuart Lancaster's squad? And what we've got to do is have a little think about our own three, and then we've got to try and come to a consensus between us on the three we
But
would
we
pick.
Won't come to a consensus, will we? You and Phil will come to a consensus.
Well,
and I'll be left on the outside with Dave Ewers.
Well, all right, so is that the first one you want to pitch? Dave Ewers.
Dave Ewers.
Who for?
Get rid of Callum Clark.
Bring Dave Ewers in for Callum Clark. Now,
correct.
Why do you think, because a lot of people were saying this, Dave Ewers has been one of the form, if not the best blindside in the Premiership so far this season. Why do you think Callum Clark got the nod?
He's been in and around the setup before, certainly in the Saxons before.
Wasn't he captain in the Saxons last season?
Was he? Yeah.
He's a monster. Right now,
Callum Clark?
Ewers. I think Callum Clark might be in there for a bit of edge. Because if he's anything, he's a little bit edgy.
He is nails.
Yeah, he's pretty hard. He's pretty stupid. you know, I'm sure he'll be fine, but I think he's only, you know... Well, here's my position, right? Which is, the teams that have made the biggest impact for me this season have been Bath, who I think have looked excellent, and they've got a huge back row, and Wasps, who have also got a monstrous back row. Looking forward to this weekend, I think the team which is going to hand out the biggest hiding this weekend is probably going to be Toulouse, and they've got a massive back row. So I don't mind having one small guy in there, but I'd like to see Haskell, Ewers,
what, Vunipola? Who are you talking about, one small guy? Who's small?
No, I don't mind having a small guy in there, right. But in this case, we're not having any small guys.
Right, okay.
In your case,
yeah.
You are
no small guys. Don't right. Don't trust them.
Now, Stuart Lancaster always says he will pick on form, but what I quite like about his distinction of form is he looks over a much longer period than the last few games. And I think that's maybe where Callum Clark's got the nod over Dave Ewers, because Callum Clark's been doing the business for the champions Northampton for a long time.
He's in a great package.
Week in, week out.
I don't know.
Yeah. But Ewers would definitely be one I'd consider changing. Phil, who would you like to put forward?
Well, sticking on the back row, I would probably swap Callum Clark for Fraser. But I think it's a very good point you make, Tim, on the longevity of their form. Because Fraser's had like six good games or five good games this season, whereas Callum Clark was very important in Northampton winning the league last year.
Yeah.
So
Fraser would be one that I'd want in. And not because I'd say that he's a better player per se, although like you say, his recent form has been excellent.
Yeah.
But just because we don't have a proper seven, as I think I moaned a little bit about on the podcast last week, I just want a balance.
Why?
I want
Why?
A proper seven. Because all the best teams in the world have a proper
Wasps
fetcher at seven.
Wasps have a proper seven.
Haskell.
Haskell, that's fine.
But look at the way that New Zealand, the way that Australia and the way that South Africa operate is they fan out, they don't defend because they have one player they can send in to cause havoc.
Let's discount Australia at the moment because they're in complete turmoil, so they don't count. Let's look at South Africa. I mean, they're just big old boys.
Yeah, they are. They are.
And New Zealand just happens to have probably the best player of a generation.
Yeah, fair enough.
Occupying the seven shirt.
I would put Fraser, but I would take out Cruz in the second row. I don't think we need to have four second rows because I think Cruz is only there.
That's a good shout.
I think Cruz is only there to make up the numbers, and he's not going to get in ahead of the other three. So if there's an injury, bring him in for Atwood, Launchbury, or Laws. But
Bring in Hooper. If you want to win a World Cup, bring in Hooper. Real leadership. Real man.
but I want to suggest as well. Now, I know he's been slightly injured. What's the story with Anthony Watson? Because I'd probably have either him or Foden. But if Watson was fit and firing, I'd have him for Good, personally, at fullback.
That's a good show.
He's due to start tomorrow. When everyone's listening to this, this was 2 days ago.
And that's not going to be a pleasant experience for him.
Yeah, and he's starting at fullback because Gavin Henson has dropped to the bench. Yeah.
What?
Well, would anyone put Wade in for anyone?
Yes.
I would probably, purely based on form and form over the last two seasons, go with Strettel.
I agree with that, actually.
He is the most complete winger that we've got, I think.
I can say this other thing about Strettel, which is every time I used to see him play against Wales, he was the only player that really frightened me.
Yeah.
He just looked awesome. And then he kind of got a few injuries, dropped off the radar, but I'm glad he's back. I'd like to see
him. What do you think if he was up against Surveyor every week?
Well, there's only very few Surveyors. I mean,
I think he'd be all right. I think the wingers each have at least one weakness.
Yeah.
And I think his kind of weakness is spread across everything rather than on one individual thing. But I think overall he's the most consistent and the most well-rounded.
Yeah, I think wings are a really strange position in terms of, say, if you've got an eight, the bigger and faster the eight, the better the eight. But with a winger, you can have a really big, fast guy. But the bigger and faster that they get, almost the more susceptible they are to a Christian Wade. I mean, I think George North would have a nightmare trying to catch Christian Wade.
I don't think George North would be worried about Christian Wade.
I bet he would.
I think Christian Wade would be a lot more concerned about George North.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, look at Shane Williams. He made a whole career out of going around people.
Right, I'm going to put one in the mix. I knew he would get picked in the squad. He has been playing really well, but this one won't be popular, and I bet it doesn't make the cut. But Haskell, I don't think...
How dare
no,
you?
No, listen. I don't think Haskell is a better six than the sixes that we could pick. I don't think he's a better seven than the sevens we could pick, Robshaw or Fraser. I don't think he's a better eight than the eights you can pick. I think he's there because he's kind of... what's that phrase? Master of... Something of many,
master of none. But tell you what, he might not be quite as good as any of those players in that position, but he's a better captain than Robshaw.
Oh, and his banter is outstanding.
Bantos!
It's almost worth having him for the Bantos, Captain Bantos. It's almost worth having him for that alone. But I know you won't pick that one, so we'll move on. Would we reach any consensus? Is there any other player you want to chuck in? David Pace would be one, but then I can understand.
Is he not in?
No, well, they've only got two hookers.
Oh, they've got two hookers, haven't they?
Yeah, but I can understand that as well.
And they're two big form hookers, aren't they?
Should we put our foot down, Phil, and go, we should have Fraser in there for balance?
No!
Well, you've only got one out-and-out seven in there at the moment.
Yeah,
but you've
Robshaw.
Got three sixes.
Yeah.
You need more big ball carriers. That's the secret.
We could go with JB's Ewers and then drop Clark, and we could go with Fraser and drop Cruz.
Oh, okay, I'll do that.
Let's do those. So those two, we've got one more position then we can change if we wish. Let's talk about the old Cipriani fly-off debate.
I was going to say, could we possibly drop Fraser and go with Hooper?
No, absolutely not. Right, how about this for a quote from Steve Diamond? I was in the room when he said this.
Ooh.
And Steve Diamond said that the England selectors have been conservative. He said, Stephen Myler is a good, consistent player in the Premiership. Does he have the flair and does he have the ability of Danny Cipriani behind a dominant pack? He said, the answer is simply no. And Danny not getting selected is hard for everyone at Sale Sharks to take. And he has suggested earlier this week as well that there is a North-South divide. And he said the answer was simply yes when asked, would Danny Cipriani get in the squad if he was playing at a team in the South?
Hmm.
And he said the answer is yes.
I think that's nonsense. But can I just ask a little bit more about this quote? It's something which I found telling then. What does he mean by everyone in sale? What did we say?
He didn't say everyone in sale. He said Danny, him not getting selected is hard for us to take.
Okay.
And by which he meant
it's coaching
us,
staff,
the
and
coaching
Danny.
Staff, Danny, people at sales.
I was going to say that's quite interesting quotes.
But then again, I wonder. He's been saying he's going to sit down with Danny and try and negotiate a new contract soon. So obviously, it's the sort of comment that Danny would like his coach to make.
If I was going to be a cynic and say, ooh, would Steve Diamond rather negotiate with a current England international or a non-international, which one would that be? Which one deserves the higher contract?
There's also an argument to say that, well, the argument that he's making, that if he was playing in a different team, he would be playing for England. So it's a contradictory argument for Diamond to make, isn't it?
Do you feel that Myler getting called up is a bit like, do you know, in the Oscars when they have a Lifetime Achievement Award for someone who's done nothing really, but kind of been consistently good throughout their career? Do you think it's kind of like that, like a reward?
So are you kind of with the sentiment that Steve Diamond's saying then, that Danny Cipriani is a better option than Myler, and Myler's just got the benefit of sitting behind a monstrous pack?
Myler's fine. He's just... I say he's uninspired. I've seen him do some marvellous things. I think there's an offload last year against Bath, which is just superb.
And it's his kicking game is also
very good.
Some of his short kicking is really excellent.
I think he's much maligned, and I take a bit of, and I'm going to say this to anyone that sits there and just has this sort of thing. It's like people think Danny Cipriani's a maverick. If you've watched Danny Cipriani in the last year and a half, and I've seen a lot of him, he's not this maverick player. He's actually, and what's made him really good and made him possible selection for England is he's knuckled down, he's putting in tackles, and he's kicking position, and he's doing a lot of the basics, and he's giving the ball a lot more. And with Stephen Myler, and let me say, if you're sat there and you just have this impression and you just think and you made up your mind Stephen Myler is boring, then you haven't been watching Northampton.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I was about to say, people say Danny Cipriani this, that and the other. It's pretty much because they don't watch Sale. He's a good, consistent fly half.
Myler is a good all-round 10.
I wouldn't have taken him, but I have no problem that he's going.
Owen Farrell goes down injured, and he's out the World Cup.
Ah, now we're talking. Now yeah. I've got a bit more of a problem.
Right. Then what have you got? You've got Ford, and you've got Cipriani. No, you want Myler there, because you've got someone. You go, right, tight game. We need to probably play South Africa. Actually, you might stick in Myler, because he's going to kick sticks and nail it. Or
I think they're going to start with Ford. I hope they do.
Possibly.
And then, if Ford goes down, do you go with... I think Farrell and Myler are more similar.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I can see that.
If Farrell's first choice, you're backing him up. If Ford was first choice, you'd probably have Cipriani in the squad.
Do we think then, knowing that... I mean, you've got to pick Ford because you just do. He's done all the right things, he's in. But he's a bit different to Farrell. So, looking at the backup, do you think the backup gives away who the starter is?
Yeah.
You reckon he's going to go with Farrell?
I think Farrell's the starter. And then you've got your kind of...
But if you pick Cipriani, you think he would go with Ford?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good...
Yeah, that's a good point. Although Farrell is the man with the shirt, so he's, as it stands, first choice.
Well, Hodgson is the man with the shirt, actually.
Well...
At the moment.
But I think I'd love to see Ford, and I think he will get... He'll start at least one or two of the test matches, yeah.
Definitely Samoa.
Yeah.
Brad Barrett, would you move him out?
Sorry, is Brad Barrett in?
Yeah.
This is how little I know. I've been so busy last few days. Brad Barrett's in. Why? I have no. I can't reconcile that with anything. Why is he there?
Defence.
Yeah.
That's it. Really. Just his defence.
But why don't they put Will Fraser in at 12?
But who would you swap Brad Barrett out for as a 12? Because looking at the squad, they've got five centres. You've got Eastmond, 12 Trees and Barrett, who will be considered as inside centres, and Jonathan Joseph and Luther Burrell, who will be considered as outside centres,
I'd throw in another outside centre, because Burrell's really... I say he's really a 12. He plays 13 for England.
I think they will start with 12 Trees...
And Burrell. Yeah, I think probably.
From what Stuart Lancaster said, you got the impression that if Tuilagi was fit, then Jonathan Joseph would be the one that drops out.
Yeah.
Not Brad Barrett. Now, personally, all I'm saying is if Tuilagi's fit... Personally, I'd drop out Barrett and think of Luther Burrell as a 12.
Agreed.
I completely agree. 100%.
So actually, what we're saying is we are only making two changes, and with the third one in brackets, when Tuilagi's fit, Barrett goes.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
So we've got Fraser. Fraser and you is in for Cruz and Clark.
I wonder.
Done. There you go, Stuart Lancaster. You want to win a World Cup? Listen to us.
Exactly. I was just wondering if Barrett would even come close to the South Africa squad.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
At Rugby Podcast, have we got that completely wrong? Are you sitting there thinking, no, Cipriani's got to go in and you're wrong about Myler? Or
no one's watched Cipriani. They have no idea.
At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think or any other changes that you would make one way or the other. Now, let's just talk a little bit about transfers because it's that time of the year when the transfer rumour mill starts to kick in. What about this one? Thierry Dussatoir. He's bucking the trend. We've seen loads of English players, going to France. But the French captain saying he wants to possibly come to the Premiership. Hasn't said exactly who, but he's spoken to some Premiership clubs, including, it's strongly rumoured, Leicester.
Mm. I hear he's moving for the food and the culture. it'd be cool, I guess.
It'd be a great signing.
Leicester would be a great fit, I think.
Yeah,
I think
they've got
think
a need in that position.
Who's a incumbent seven?
Salvi, yeah.
Yeah, and he's not going to last forever.
No.
Yeah, go for it. Well done, Leicester.
It's good.
Is there anyone else that could really do with him? I mean, Bath currently are very short of back rows. But...
Short-term loss, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I would have loved Warburton to go to the Tigers or to go to Bath. I'd love to see him in both those kits. Fantastic kits.
I think Dussatoir at Quins would be a good one. You could stick Robshaw on the blind and Dussatoir at seven, or vice versa. Actually, yeah. Dussatoir can play six.
What about
as well?
The other lad, Tarzan?
Luke Wallace. Well, no, yeah, Luke Wallace is good.
We'll take them in now.
But I just think Dussatoir would improve the team. He'd improve pretty much any team he went to be honest.
Yeah, just about. He's world class.
London Welsh, Falcons.
has Dussatoir still got the record for the most tackles made in an international game?
Was that the World Cup final?
No, the World Cup quarter final. In France against New Zealand in 2000.
And... I knew it was against New Zealand.
2007.
Oh, hang on. A quarterfinal in Cardiff?
When the tournament was played in France. In 2007.
I went to watch that game.
I can't believe I'm the one dishing out the facts. This is normally Phil's job, but 38 tackles.
Fact.
World record.
Wow. Well done, Phil.
And I think it was the international match with the most world records. Most world records. Most tackles as well.
Most world records in one match.
The world record for the most world records.
Someone who's not moving is Joe Launchbury. He's committed his future to Wasps, signed a new deal with the Coventry club.
Yeah.
Feels weird saying that.
Brand Wasps.
Saracens were apparently after him. So that's obviously amazing news for Wasps.
Yeah. Really good set of second rows they've got there.
It's quality.
With
Gaskell. Gaskell, isn't it? And
Bradley Davies. Yeah.
Talon are interested in Samu Manoa, although Northampton are saying they know nothing of this. But there's rumours linking Samu Manoa but they're saying Talon are interested. And when Talon are interested in someone...
Talon is interested in any one of your players, keep calm and just calmly ask... Who are you going to let go? Because we'll do a swap.
Oh, like the sales swap of Evian Lewis Roberts for Sheridan. Great bit of business.
Well done. Just see who wants to come.
Well, you look at the Talon back row, and you've got Masoi, who's 35, Vosloo, 35, Joanne Smith, 34, Fernandez Lobby, 33, Gogodza, I think, 31. They're like the
AC Milan of rugby.
Yeah,
they are.
They're all in that...
Twilight.
They won't last forever. Bracket.
Have you mentioned Joanne Smith?
Joanne Smith, yeah, 34, I think he is. Their second row is probably something similar with Ali Williams and Backies both.
What about this one then for a possible move? Gloucester are apparently made their number one target George Burgess.
That's such a classic Gloucester move, isn't it?
Younger brother of Sam, who's gone to the West Country rivals Bath. Now, George Burgess is 22, and it's thought that. A £1 million, or is it $1 million? I don't know whether it's dollar or pound. But
probably dollar.
Dollars for now.
A $1 million Australian dollar deal could tempt George Burgess. Basically, the same money that they spent on Sam Burgess.
Okay, this is such a... I mean, it's such a Gloucester move, right? Because Bath are a pretty complete team. We can all agree on that. And they're just adding this extra Burgess character and see how it goes. Gloucester needs second rows... Badly. They probably might even need an extra front row.
Well, they have got Galarza coming back when he's fit again from after, and he looked really good.
Get another one as well. It's not like bringing Burgess in is going to be like the final piece of the puzzle. They need so much more. So wasting all your money on I mean, they did the same with Carl Price.
Yeah, that one didn't work out very well.
It didn't work out great, did it?
I think these Burgess boys are a little bit different.
Why? Carl Price was incredible at the time.
Where on the Burgess pecking order is George Burgess?
I think Sam, he's second, isn't he?
I think he's basically the number two. It's Sam and George are the ones that played all the time.
They're the good
for
ones.
For the Rabbitohs. They're the best ones.
I'd happily be number five Burgess. Happily.
Well, let's quickly move aside then, because let's talk about that. Manu Tuilagi said this week that when asked who is the best of the Tuilagi brothers, Andy, he replied, Andy Tuilagi is the best. If he hadn't have been injured so much, he would have been the best Tuilagi.
No, he's getting confused. Yeah. There's too many of them.
He does know he's related to Henry Tuilagi, yeah? The butcher.
Is he just chucking Andy Tuilagi a bone there for being the runt of the... Because Andy Tuilagi, let's not...
Was he laughing?
Let's not forget that he made our runt of the litter 15, didn't he?
I played against a Tuilagi last week.
What?
I played against a Tuilagi last week.
What?
Yeah, there's a Tuilagi playing at Penrith. And he plays inside centre. Wasn't great, I've got to say.
Is he a proper... he just had the name Tuilagi? Or
no,
is it,
a
or
proper
is he a
bona fide Tuilagi. I don't know if his surname's Tuilagi, but he's related to
Tuilagi. Ah, right. He might be a half-brother or a cousin.
Penrith signed Tuilagi. Oh, 21st of July 2013.
There you go.
They've had to wait, but now we can announce that they have signed Palais Tuilagi.
I think he's from Newcastle originally.
Pale
Newcastle.
Plays for the Star Club in New Zealand. I think he's just got the same name, mate. I think that's it.
I'm not sure about that, Tim. I'm pretty sure it's Tuilagi's nil, JB one.
He's played all his rugby in New Zealand.
29-year-old Palais can play scrum half or fullback.
He played 12.
He's a cousin.
Oh, yeah. Is he?
There you go.
According to he's a cousin.
He's a cousin.
But Beardmores are beating the Tuilagis in rugby terms down at the moment.
Only weighs 88 kg, not 180.
He isn't a big guy.
Yeah.
Not a big guy at all.
Because there is a couple of younger Tuilagis who I think
they're in Fred, Newcastle.
Yeah, they're Brian Tuilagi and another. who
Yeah, and then there's Fred. Cecil Tuilagi coming through the ranks, isn't there?
Cedric. I want to see what's the most, as they obviously become more, as a family, more and more English, and they're bedded in generation after generation. Not to say they're not English, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the most English name that they could have as a Tuilagi?
I think Tim Tuilagi sounds fairly ridiculous.
That does sound
Timothy Tuilagi.
Timothy Tuilagi.
Timothy Tuilagi. I like that. Like that a lot. Anyway, going back to the Burgess, here's a question for you, right? A quick one. Because rugby league fans will be moaning again.
They always moan.
They're just nicking another rugby league player. And of course, before professionalism, the drain was the other way. There were players like Jonathan Davies and Scott Quinnell. And so on, going to rugby league from rugby union. But one thing I think rugby league maybe can actually say is we take a lot of their like defensive systems and offloading and a lot of their skill set. Which has rugby union given anything to rugby league? Is there anything that we do really well in rugby union that rugby league has maybe adopted or taken?
I think
internationals. I mean, the rugby league do terrible, terrible internationals. If they're going to take anything from rugby union, it's spread the game.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's only really three countries.
Well, I mean, there's only like 10 towns in all of the UK that play it. I mean, it's phenomenally successful there. They should just spread, you know.
So the commercial approach and the...
It's not even commercial, is it? It's the fact that we've got rugby playing communities all over the world that play union. There's like a handful. I think it goes... This isn't a joke either. I think it goes Australia, UK, when they were Great Britain, so let's call them Great Britain, New Zealand, but I think the next one might be like the Lebanon. I'm not even joking.
I know there's a big
might be France. Like, France probably
Lebanese expat community in Australia. Yeah.
A lot of people went out from St Helens to the Lebanon.
Well, I tell you what, a few years ago
they thought, well, we won't go to the Costa del Sol and emigrate. Well, let's go to the Lebanon.
A few years ago, the multinational team was recruiting from South Wales because they've got a load of South Walian expats there, so they're just getting family and friends to play.
Wow.
Possibly professionalism, and I know rugby league was professional before rugby union, but I think a lot of sports, not just rugby league, I think football and others, learned a lot from England 2003 World Cup. The Clive Woodward mantra of making everything 1% better to improve everything. It's like that kind of that
attention to detail. Yeah, yeah,
scientific attention to detail. I think that's something that any sport can
learn. I cannot for the life of me understand why rugby league isn't the biggest sport in the world, quite frankly. I mean, why the Americans don't love rugby league? It's easy to understand. There's only six tackles and the uniforms look great. What's there not to like?
Anyway. You make a good point. There you go. A final little bit of news. Japan have been awarded a Super Rugby franchise. So in 2016, Super Rugby in the Southern Hemisphere is going to expand to 18 teams from the 15 that it currently is. So South Africa are getting an extra one, am I right, Phil, to make it 16?
Yes.
Then Argentina are going to get one to make it 17. And the final one, as announced today, as we record this, Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, getting a Super Rugby franchise.
Do you think this has got anything to do with stopping the player drain? Do you know when, like, New Zealand and, Kiwis and Aussies go over to Japan and then can't get picked because they're not playing Super Rugby? Well, does this mean they can be picked now? Or do they have to be playing for the home union?
The current rules are you have to be playing for the playing within the country. Certainly Australia and New Zealand say that. You have to be playing in that country.
But it does stand to reason that if they're part of the same fixture system, that playing in Japan or Australia or South Africa shouldn't really affect...
Yeah, and presumably, do you know when all the players go to Japan for the big money? Well, presumably all that big money will be in that region now. Or will it? I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to work.
I expect that's how it will work.
Put an end to all the big contracts with IBM Big Blue or whatever the teams are.
No, I reckon they'll still have that.
You reckon?
Yeah. I reckon it's probably one of the reasons they've given the franchise there.
So I wonder if the franchise will be drawing players from like the Black Rams or...
Yeah,
or if they'll be separate.
Rico Black Rams. No, I think they'll still have that tier two league now, and they'll.
Yeah, but exactly what you were talking about with sort of growing the game and professionalism, and maybe you didn't mean it quite like this, Phil. But actually, even if it's the superstars of the game, the fact they're right there in Japan is going to increase participation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Among the native population,
you would like to see, wouldn't you, more Japanese players?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you will. I think you'll get both, but you've got to have the stars there initially and having like the Crusaders going playing in Japan or the Sharks going and playing in Japan will obviously grow it, and then you'll initially have a lot of foreign players, but as that popularity grows you'll get more and more Japanese
players. I'd love to see 10 years from now a Southern Hemisphere regional competition as they're getting Super Rugby and a Northern Hemisphere one, and then you could have like
the NFL, like I've been saying for years.
Yeah, and then you
yes,
because the US,
yes, again,
the USA could have a couple, England could have a few, France could have a couple, and then you've got this, and then you've got a Northern Conference, a Southern Hemisphere
I've
Conference.
I've been saying this for years. Why don't you listen to me?
The playoffs bring them together.
Yeah, and you have a global season, so you have the international period.
I'd love that.
Why has this just occurred to you all now? Unbelievable, again. Now, let's have a bit more fun. Has this team been named yet? Do you know what it's called?
No.
Great, let's start guessing.
I think it was just announced yesterday.
Where's it going to be based? Tokyo?
Have they even said that?
Oh, no, I haven't.
The JRFU have just been informed today, as we speak, about the decision from Sanza Rugby.
Probably going to be Tokyo. So let's assume it is for a second, or Japan or whatever. The Tokyo Kamikazes.
The Kamikazes, good. I was going to go for something like the Tunas. Something.
Tunas?
Yeah, they love their bluefin tuna. Or samurais?
The bluefins.
The bluefins.
Bluefins, yeah, I like that.
Samurais?
They've got the cherry blossom.
Samurais, that's it.
It has to be the samurais. Who do you think their kit manufacturer will be?
I wonder. I don't know who it
Rhino.
Be.
It must be Rhino.
Samurais. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, samurais would be pretty cool. Yeah, there you go. We've just named them.
What would the Argentinian one be called, by the way?
The gauchos.
Yeah. The steaks.
I don't know. The Falklanders.
That's Malvinas.
Malvinas. Yeah, so when do these teams kick off?
The Clarksons.
When do these teams kick off?
2016.
Yes.
Exciting. Oh, I've got an email from Warren Gatland. Yeah.
Jay, you're included in the squad. Get your boots.
Jay, can you play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 7, 12, 13, 14, 15? Not 15.
Right, listen, Phil, well done, even though it's a Friday and you haven't had the weekend to prepare. You've come straight from a busy week of work. You've still organised a quiz for us. So here's Phil with his little weekly trivia teaser on the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast.
And it's another list for you, you fine gentlemen.
You love right. lists.
I do love lists.
It's your job. Like, making lists is your job.
I just kind like of. To, I'm like following to, rules. Following like rules to, counts things making lists.
Just like to put things in order.
Yeah, that's it.
So, nice easy one. Hopefully a little bit easier than last week when Tim won with 0 points.
What was last week's? Guessing those size of the number eights that played in the Six Nations or something ridiculous.
Something like that, yeah. I want you to write from 1 to 8.
Oh, Christ.
The highest ranked IRB teams in the 15s world rankings.
In the okay, easy.
Easy, yeah.
How hard can that be?
So, same as last week, point scoring is 1 point for a team in the correct position, no points for a team in the wrong position, and if you list one that is not in the eight, you get -2 points.
Mm-hmm. Listen to me right.
I think you should get the first, probably the first four in order, definitely, and then after that it gets a little bit trickier.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I've got the eight countries.
Hmm.
Pretty sure. Right.
So I've got all eight in order. How many have you got, Tim? Because that's quite hard to beat, I think.
That's eight points, Jay.
I think it is.
I've got eight in an order. I'm not very confident in the order I've put them in, but let's go with it.
Let's have a quick scan of yours, Tim. Let's just have a quick look.
By the way, I've crossed one out, so you can see it. I'm not cheating.
Yeah, I can see them both. So, Tim, do you want to list...
Should we go from first? Bottom to top? Should we go eighth position?
Do that.
My eighth is Wales.
My eighth is Wales.
Ooh.
Are we wrong or right?
Just let me get my scoring system.
That was my wild card. I didn't think...
Right, if people are playing along, how's the scoring system work?
So, it's 1 point for in the correct position, okay, and -2 if you list the team that's not in the eight. So,
okay,
I can tell you that Wales, in eighth position... gets you 0 points.
What?
So they're in the list, but they're not.
Yes, precisely.
They're not eight.
No.
Right, okay.
Then?
Seventh, I've got Argentina.
And Jay?
So have I.
I can tell you that Argentina gets you both -2 points.
They're not in the list of top eight.
They are 10th.
Wow.
As it stands.
God damn.
Sixth, I've got France.
So have I.
You both got the same list.
Tim, have you been copying me?
I can tell you that you have no points for that either.
Oh my God.
France weren't in 8th or 7th by any chance.
France are in 7th position.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. 5th, I've got Ireland.
And Jay?
Ireland.
And you both get +1 point.
Yes! I'm win. No, I'm not.
You're drawing.
So who... Oh no, we don't know the country we've missed because we haven't done it yet. But I'm assuming it must be one of the lower ranked teams. Like,
yes, you've missed the team that's in 8th place.
So who's that? Is that Japan or something
Samoa.
Like that?
Samoa. Scotland.
What? How are they? So you know what Argentina would do to Scotland? If
I know.
If they met on a night out.
4th place, I've got Australia.
Jay?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, you both get 1 point. I think it's going to be a draw.
3rd place, I've got England.
Yeah.
I went for England.
Yeah.
We just got the same list.
You've written exactly the same 1 to 8.
And South Africa second.
New Zealand first.
Yeah.
How are you going to decide who wins this?
Right, so...
Maybe we have to pick the next three. Because we know that Wales are eighth.
I will tell you that Samoa are in 9th position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Argentina are 10th. But then who is in 11th for the tiebreaker?
I'll go in and say Japan.
I'm going to say USA.
The person getting the points... taking this week.
Is it one of them then?
It is one of them.
Oh, right.
And it's Tim.
Yes! No!
USA are 18th, Jay.
What?
Japan are 11th.
Doesn't bode well for their New Zealand match, does it?
No.
Good game, Phil. I like that.
God
like
damn.
That. And with that, we're going to end JB's frustration now, because what we're going to do is hop in our DeLorean, fill up the flux capacitor with some banana peel, and with Doc Brown and Martin McFly, we are going to jet 48 hours into the future, because right now it's a Friday evening. I'm going to be on holiday in Greece, and JB and Phil, we're going to go forward in time, and they're going to review.
We're going to talk about Bath for half an hour.
Off you go in your DeLorean. See you later, yeah?
Bye.
Bye. Right.
Wow. Time travel really takes it out of you.
It was tough, wasn't it?
Oh.
But, I mean, we've had 8 to 10 hours to recover and watch all of those games.
Yep. What's your pick of the week, Philip?
Well, I think I know what you're going to go for.
Go on.
I imagine you're going to go for not the Northampton team, a specific individual.
It was of interest, but no, that is not my pick of the week.
That's not your pick of
the
week?
No, I've got two picks of the week.
Okay, you go first then.
Well, my first pick of the week would be my terrible picks regarding the Pro 12 versus the Premiership.
Yeah.
Saracens, who I had nailed on winners against Munster, lost miserably.
Yeah.
God knows how that happened. I still can't work it out. But if that wasn't wasn't surprising, Leicester lost to Scarlets.
Yeah.
And they scored the same amount of points.
Three. Three.
Yeah. My two English candidates, who I thought might be in with a shout, an outside shout of World Cup glory, Benjamin and Alan, combined to drop 7 points and then literally throw 7 points to Scarlets.
So the incident was Alan, who received a pass from Ben Youngs 2 yards out from the try line, completely unmarked, and managed to drop it over the line.
Yep.
And then Miles Benjamin, who, receiving a kick in his own 22,
threw it on the floor.
He kind of got caught in two minds. He looked like he was going to kick and then thought, I'm going to take contact.
No, he threw the ball up for a kick, but according to minds, he didn't swing his leg for the kick. So the result was just to throw the ball forward, which was quite incredible, actually. Other than that, I actually thought Miles Benjamin had a fairly good... In fact, I think Anthony Allen had a fairly good game, both coming back from injury. But to only score 3 points as... one of the premier teams in the Aviva, particularly as I've said all these good things about the Aviva teams and all the bad things about the Pro 12 teams, simply not acceptable.
Yeah, and Scarlets as well. Like, we talk about Leicester being injury ravaged.
Yeah.
Scarlets as well. They lost Jake Ball before the match. They lost Pittman after 20 minutes. They lost Scott Williams
The captain.
After 20 minutes. God. But they still managed to pull out a performance.
Yeah, and my second pick of the week...
Okay.
We've found a referee that likes rugby. John Lacey from the same game, Scarlets Tigers.
Yeah.
Just let the boys play.
There was a great hit by Owen Williams on Taggy Thackenbow, where Thackenbow got a head of steam up, ran straight into Williams, and he just upended him, drove him backwards. His legs went up in the air... But he landed on his back. Then the ref just, like you say, let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Well, I think the commentator on that was BT's own Alistair Reakin. I think it was. And he has a very weird reading of the rules, which was, because Williams let him go mid-air, it was okay that he went past the horizontal. Which I'm sure isn't the rule.
Yeah, that sounds like... that sounds the opposite of the actual rule. If you let him go in the air, it's normally worse.
Hmm. Well... At least Northampton kept the flag flying for the Aviva, smashing the Ospreys 34-6, as I predicted would happen with all the games, to be fair.
Yeah, and Ospreys were unbeaten going into this game, but Northampton, and particularly George North, were just unstoppable, unplayable.
I'm assuming George North is your pick of the weekend, Phil?
Yes, George North would be. I was expecting you to pick him, but... Yeah, George North. Is there a better winger in the world at the moment?
Is there a better player in the world?
Yeah, better player in any position.
We've just picked the Welsh team now, if Gatland could pick it, and we're going with Gethin Jenkins,
yeah.
Richard Hibbard.
Yeah.
We're going with...
Sampson Lee.
Probably Sampson Lee, Alan Wynne-Jones, and then it's going to be George North.
As the other second row.
As the other second row, yeah.
Yeah.
I think at 6 is probably going to be George North.
Yeah.
At 8 will definitely be George North.
Yeah.
7 might be Warburton.
Yeah.
9 will be George North, get the ball in his hands nice and early.
Yeah.
10, Priest, no, George North. 12, George North. 13, George North. 14 George North, 11 George North, and 15 Halfpenny.
Yeah, Halfpenny to kick sticks.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, fine.
Yeah, George North in about 9 or 10 positions there.
Yeah, if Gatland had his way.
But, well, he might actually end up playing outside centre because Jonathan Davies and Scott Williams have both gone down injured in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's a shame. I was starting to think Scott Williams is playing well enough now, and because he's in Wales, yeah, and on a dual contract, that he would finally get his chance.
Yeah, if he does go on a dual contract.
He is he not?
I thought it was only Warburton. I thought Warburton was the single one.
No, I think there's a few of them, though.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Remains to be seen. Now, let's talk a little bit about a team who I've literally never watched.
Literally?
Literally. I can honestly say I've never watched a full game involving the Glasgow Warriors.
I watched the final of them last year, and I watched Ulster beat them comprehensively.
I've seen highlights with them in, but I've never watched a full game of the Glasgow Warriors. And somehow, they went away and beat a French team in France 13-15.
Now, we've been getting a bit of stick from this, because we wrote them off against Bath, and they hammered Bath. And then we wrote them off this week against Montpellier, and they've beaten Montpellier. Not hammered them, but they've beaten them.
This can't continue.
Well, they are a good team. They've got quality all round. Their outside centre, Bennett, who scored 2 tries last week, looks awesome. 21-year-old Scotsman. They've got Finn Russell at 10.
They've got a Scotsman. I don't understand it. There's obviously something else going on here. Someone needs to be investigated for match fixing or something, because it's just not right.
Now, I didn't watch the full game, but I watched the highlights, and they were the worst set of highlights I've ever seen. Purely because it's 13-15, 28 points. Mm-hmm. That 28 points consisted of 7 penalties and a penalty try.
Wow. Wow.
That is not pretty watching, but fair play to them going to Montpellier, who are 4th in the top 14. They're probably unbeaten at home until now. That's generally how the top 14 works.
Yep.
But that is a cracking result. And they're now, so they're in, which pool are they in? They're in pool 4, and it's them and Toulouse who are both unbeaten in pool 4.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
So they're going to go to Toulouse, have Toulouse come. They might get out of the pool.
They could well do.
I mean, they're favourites, right?
They'll be second favourites behind Toulouse, presumably. But if they, having already picked up 2 wins, it puts them in good position to get one of those 3 runner-up spots.
Mm. Now that leads us very nicely into a topic I love, health and safety. Now, you were just saying then, Toulouse be favourites to get out the pool.
Yeah.
And in an era when all we're talking about is health and safety, Bath fielded a second row, another second row, and the blind side, open side, as their back row.
Yeah.
To face the monsters of Dusutoir, Haran Nordicki, and Pickamalls.
But not only those 3 in the back row, their bench back row was Yannick Nianga and Edwin Macker, who is 142 kilograms.
Who the hell would be on the bench? If that's how deep Bath have gone.
Yeah.
Who was on the bench for Bath?
I think it was Guy Mercer who was on the bench.
Poor Guy Mercer. Here's a... His self-esteem must be rock bottom. Right.
But they did really well. They'll be genuinely disappointed not to have got a win out of that.
I don't know. They looked decent. At no point did Toulouse look overbearing.
No.
But I think Toulouse and Toulon do very similar things, which is they play like they're bored. They play to the standard which the other team are playing until they actually need to win. So I saw Toulon last week, and it was Scarlets last week who they absolutely smashed. And watching it, you thought, maybe the Scarlets are in with a shout here. Every time they get the ball, they break the line, make a few yards, and they're kind of within touching distance. Now, I watched the first half of the Ulster-Toulon game, and I thought, this isn't too bad. I mean,
yeah,
they're giving away yards to Toulon, and Toulon are ahead. But when they get the ball, it's looking pretty promising. And then they just crush the life out of your second half. Like, last 10 minutes, it's kind of slowly grind away.
That 40th minute, it was 9-3 with basically nothing on the clock. 9-3 to Toulon, that is.
And I was thinking, yeah, Ulster, if we go in at half-time 6 points down, that's not bad.
No.
But then 25 phases and 60 metres later, Brian Habana is going under the posts after two unbelievable offloads from Juan Smith and then Massoi. And they just, yeah, they just grinded it out when they had to.
Now, what do you make of this? There was a try, which was not a try.
Yeah.
Which was scored by Dylan Armitage, I think, right?
Yeah.
Now, Dylan Armitage got the ball, went over, and the forward pass was given, I think, by O'Connor. Maybe, oh no, Halfpenny. It was definitely Halfpenny,
yeah.
So, looking back at it, the hands went backwards, but the ball went forwards. Now, I thought, okay, hands went backwards, ball goes forwards, this is fine, it's a try. I have today heard that the new directive is, does the ball go forward, not do the hands go backwards?
So it's flipped on its head from
correct
the directive that was put in about 12 months ago.
So as the wonderful professional sport which we are, they've decided, apparently 2 weeks ago, that this is all gonna now change around. Wonderful. So we had a situation today, I think it was in the what was the one this afternoon? The Sharks game.
Yeah.
Where the ball went back. No, hang on, wait for it. The hands went forwards, but the ball went backwards. Therefore, it's not. Mind you, if your hands go forward and the ball goes backwards anyway, even the old laws, it's not going to be a forward pass.
If the ball goes backwards, it doesn't matter. Keep it simple.
Do they just have a group of people somewhere in an office which they need to keep in a job no matter what, and therefore they have to keep on making up rules?
Maybe
a rules committee.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, they have to justify their existence, justify their £500,000 salaries from the whoever it is, IRB, by just changing the rules so slightly.
Well, oh no, we're not going to go into the rule changes in whatever level five Northwest Rugby, but we had a very, very, very similar situation last week. Now, as we are talking, there are two more games in play.
Yeah.
Which are Benetton versus Racing.
Racing.
Racing seems to be winning that, so I don't think we need to talk about it whatsoever.
Well, it was only 6-3 last time I checked.
It's now 13-3.
Ah, right, yeah, okay, fair enough.
That's going to go the way we expected it to. And Wasps Harlequins. We're now talking at second half. We'll get to see. Sorry. See the end of the second half, because our time in this part of the quantum drift is coming to an end now, so we'll have to transport back.
Yeah.
But currently, 10-13.
Yeah, and from that first half that we've actually seen of Harlequins, they lost Joe Marler just before kickoff, or at some point before kickoff with a thigh injury. But their scrum seems to have been shored up. They've got Kyle Sinclair back at tight end.
Not showing up a scrum, is it?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't think so.
It's playing a prop, but it's not showing up a scrum.
But the scrum's been solid from what I've seen.
Yeah, and Wasps have got a great scrum.
Yeah, Wasps have got a really good scrum. So that's a good thing.
Well, hear me now, believe me later. This is going to go one way, and that's the way of Wasps, even though Harlequins have just scored another 3 points. and what's going to happen, I'm telling you now, Wasps are just going to overpower Quins, and that's going to be the end of it.
Wasps, although they don't have James Haskell, who would be doing some of that overpowering.
But he'll be doing the team talk and stuff, Captain Bansos, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And they do have Ashley Johnson and Nathan Hughes in the back row.
Exactly.
So, yeah, probably quite a bit of power coming from that.
Are we done here?
Anything else on those games? We've talked about most of them.
No, Leinster won, and other than that, I don't really care. So well, shall we hop back into our DeLorean?
Well, let's hop back into the DeLorean and pass it over to Tim.
Yes. Let's look forward to the LV Cup next week.
Cheers, Jay.
So anyway, yeah, Jay and Phil will go off in the DeLorean soon. Any minute now. Are you guys going to go or what?
Oh, we're back.
Yeah, just got back.
Just got back, mate.
You've got back.
By the way, what a weekend of games.
Oh, Tim, you have missed out.
It's all right, Tim. I was going to say, Treviso hammered someone, but you can wait to see that in the games this week.
Right, okay. So you're back. You've been to the future.
Did it?
Yeah.
What was the weather like?
Rainy.
It's Manchester, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It's Manchester.
We will see you on the next podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
Oh, sorry, just a bit of housekeeping before we go. Next week's podcast will probably be out on a Tuesday, will it?
Yes, it will be. It'll be later than usual.
Because one of the best things about doing the podcast is we have people who will happily buy us drinks if we meet up with them. So this time next week, we'll be in Chicago getting ready for the All Blacks New Zealand game with listener Warren Mullis and some of his rugby buddies.
And anyone else if they want to...
And anyone else. So if you're in Chicago and you want to meet up for a quick beer, just give us a tweet.
Amazing. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find them on Twitter. Follow that as well and keep in touch with the boys, because I bet you're going to post some pictures and all sorts of stuff. And all the antics you get up to.
Yep.
And yeah, like I said, next week's podcast will be slightly later. Thank you for downloading this week's one. And we'll see you next time in a bit, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Later, Jake.
Goodbye, Tim.